In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The majority of my late childhood and teenage years were lived out near the coast of the Gulf of Mexico, Northwest Florida area. My grandfather, uncles, and all of my cousins loved to fish. In our neck of the woods, it was called the poor man's sport because all you needed was a Sears and Roebuck rod with a Zebco reel and worms dug out of the flower bed or the vegetable garden in the backyard. We were what experts in fishing call inshore or nearshore fisher people because no one in our boat, in our family, owned a boat. So we fished from bridges, the banks of rivers, and the beach. My experience of fishing was turned completely upside down, however, when my mother's sister and her husband came to visit from Niagara Falls, New York. Now, Uncle Laurie and Aunt Bernice had no children, and they both had really good jobs, so they had a lot of expendable income. So when they came to visit, they stayed with us for a few days, and they invited our family to go deep-sea fishing with them, and they were going to pay for everything. I think it was about $25 for the whole day, which back then was an enormous, well, you know, in 2015, that was an enormous sum of money. You did catch it, didn't you? Well, we got up really early one morning. It was a beautiful spring day. The sky was blue, and I had never seen water so deep green and deep blue in my life. We were about 20 miles offshore. The boat stopped, and we let down our lines, and then we began to troll very, very slowly for the big fish. It was awesome. We caught these huge red snapper and grouper, and someone in our fishing party snagged a swordfish, which was about at least as long as the altar here. At one point, a pod of dolphins started swimming beside our boat, and if you've ever experienced that, they'll come up in their pod, they'll kind of separate out, they'll swim on either side of the boat, and then they'll move in front of the boat and start jumping out of the water and crisscrossing. It is an absolutely gorgeous sight to behold. Well, I was spoiled that day forever. I mean, fishing for catfish from a bridge on the Chattahoochee River was in the rearview mirror. And to this day, the only kind of fishing you will ever catch me participating in is deep sea fishing out in the middle of the ocean. Now, for those of you who fish, it can be exhilarating, especially when you're pulling in a big swordfish or a marlin. But fishing can be boring and frustrating, too, can it? Especially if you've been fishing all day long, and all you've caught is some old shoe that somehow ended up on the bottom of the river. And I imagine that's how Peter and his friends felt as Jesus walked toward them that morning. They had been fishing all night long, and they had nothing to show for it except their tired arms and blistered hands. And now they had to put their work aside while this preacher commandeered one of the boats so that he could do a little teaching to the large crowd that had gathered. And then Jesus, at the end of all that, of a rather long sermon, had a strange request. Let's take these boats out to the deeper part of the lake and catch some fish. Well, Peter is leery, of course, but he does what Jesus asks. So they get out into the middle of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. They cast the nets, and those weights on the edges of the net sink down into the depth. And the scripture tells us they caught so many fish, the boats almost sank. So when they got back to shore, they had fried fish, they had baked fish, They had poached fish with figs. They had fish cakes. So many fish that it scared poor Peter half to death. And the scripture says that he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Lord," and I'm paraphrasing here, "but Lord, I am a rough, cussing, stubborn fisherman. You shouldn't be around the likes of me. You're going to ruin your reputation." But Jesus says, "Not to worry. From now on, you're going to come with me, and you're going to snatch people from a dead-end life to the fullness of life that God has for them." And Peter does just that. And that's what putting out into the deep water can do for a person. Many Bible scholars suggest that the fish in the story serve as a metaphor for abundance. And you see that throughout the Gospels, don't you? The feeding of the 5,000, the two fish are taken. And Jesus prays, gives thanks, distributes them so that everyone is fed. And then in one of the Gospel stories, there are how many baskets full left over? 12 abundance. But like the catch of fish in this story, you have to go deep to get these things. Going out to the deep water takes some faith. It takes some risk. I mean, it's a lot easier and a lot safer to just stand in the ankle-deep water where you can see the bottom. But you know, in deep water, when you get out about 20 miles offshore, it's not so easy to see to the bottom, is it? But that's where the real catch is, out there in the deep water. It's safer to stay in the shallow water. And sometimes we don't even want to get our feet wet, so we stand on the bank as observers. Robert Wright, who is the Episcopal Bishop of Atlanta, writes about this story. "Staying in shallow water is such a temptation. Shallow water doesn't cost much. It doesn't take a whole lot of courage. But Simon knew the minnows would not be enough to feed him. The minnows weren't the desire of his heart. The deep water of faith is where those things we say we want are all swimming around. The shallow is where we begin the adventure, not where we finish." I think the real miracle of this gospel story is not so much the nets brimming with fish, so much that the boats almost sank. I wonder if the real miracle here is that Peter, James, and John understood that God invites us to more. Some of you will remember when Stephanie Spellers was here, and she's written this in several of her books, where she describes evangelism as listening to another person's story, seeing where God is in that story, and then inviting them to more. And that's what Jesus was doing, inviting Peter and James and John and anyone who would listen to more. And Luke tells us they left everything, everything, and followed Jesus. I've been doing a lot of reading lately about the development of our American and Western culture, especially over the last 40 or 50 years, about trends in religion and in the church and the sociological landscape in which we exist. Mother Carissa and I have had several discussions over the last few weeks about articles that we've been reading about the state of the church and Christianity in our country right now. And when I look out on the landscape of our culture, I can't help but notice that we're not a very happy people right now. And there are a lot of good reasons for that. I mean, most people that I talk to are tired. Some are just worn out by the pandemic, and others are just worn out by the general nastiness and the craziness we see in the world around us. And when we get tired, it's really tempting to just maintain the spiritual status quo or to just disengage completely. But it's at those points, it is exactly at those points, where Jesus breaks in with an invitation. You know, Jesus did not come to Peter, James, and John after they'd had a good night's sleep at the Hilton, or after an English breakfast of bacon and eggs. And if you live in the South, you got to throw in biscuits as well. No, Jesus came to them when they were weary. They'd been up all night long. They were tired. And they had given up for the day. But Jesus said, hey, let's go to the deep water. And their choice to say yes to Jesus' invitation changed everything. You see this played out in the story of Isaiah. Isaiah was probably a young priest who lived in Jerusalem. Could have been a part of the court of King Uzziah. He was in mourning for the king, who was one of the good kings, by the way. And it's at that low point where Isaiah comes before the Lord, and the glory of the Lord breaks in and invites him to more. Now, not everyone who encountered Jesus in the Gospels was called to leave everything behind. Everybody is not called to be an Isaiah. Everyone is not called to be an Ignatius of Loyola and give away everything they have. But Jesus is very clear that following him, becoming his disciple, does involve some leaving. I mean, look at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were called to follow Jesus. They stayed at home. Look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, a member of the religious hierarchy. He stayed in that position, and yet he followed Jesus. But becoming Jesus' disciple means that we leave behind things which stand in the way of a deeper, fuller love for God and for neighbor. Because those things that we are called to leave behind are nets, and they will entrap us if we're not careful. So what does Jesus' call to go deeper, to launch out into the deeper water, look like for you today? Sisters and brothers, I believe Jesus is always calling us, inviting us to go deeper, especially in days like these, and when life throws us an unexpected curveball, when things don't go our way. Jesus is always calling us to leave the shallow waters of what our culture considers a normal life, a life that's built on cultural expectations. Jesus calls us to be courageous. And Jesus invites us, is always inviting us, to the deeper waters of a fuller, freer, richer life. Did you notice that collect for the day? Where we're asking God to free us up from that stuff that keeps us from the abundance of life that God offers us in the world. So does anyone here want to go deep sea fishing? Let's go. Amen.